Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is with former Broadway star turned Andy Cohen radio show host, my very funny friend, John Arthur Hill. Just a heads up, this was from Halloween. I pushed back a couple of weeks because I wanted to make the Joe Biden announcement episode come out last week. So I am dressed as Vanessa Carlton for the entirety of this interview, and that's how I introduce myself. But I'm Tim Murray, and if you're enjoying this podcast, go ahead and rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want more bonus episodes, go ahead and sign up for my Patreon. Enjoy the episode.
He used to wet the bed, but now he doesn't. So let's have a slumber party.
Making my way downtown, walking past, and I'm homebound. And I would walk 1,000 miles. Hello, everyone. It's me, Vanessa Carlton. Walk 1,000 miles. And I am here with, actually, who am I here with? Who can we, before I introduce our guests, I would like our guests, I want to know who's here, who's, I'm summoning, who's here with us today? Can you give us a clue to who you are?
Yeah, well, a lot of you have been watching The Queen's Gambit, and I just want to say good for you. I'm happy there's no resentment. I'm happy for her. It was originally called The Battleship Gambit, and I was the lead, and we got to the set, we started playing the set, and I was like, acting, and I was like, I sunk your battleship, bitch. And then they were like, you know what, let's do chess, and let's give her a red wig and a new actress. So I've been jilted. I'm a jilted Queen's Gambit bitch.
A jilted Queen's Gambit bitch. She said Halloween is back on. Here she is. And of course, she is a jilted Queen's Gambit bitch tonight on Halloween, ladies and gentlemen.
But I signed an NDA, but I'm breaking it for tonight.
Okay, thank you. We here at Slumber Party Live appreciate that so very much. And for those of you who want to know who's under the wig, yes, honey, it is the one, the only, John Arthur Hill from, you know him from, oh, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Andy Cohen and his Sirius XM radio network? Have you ever heard of the show The Feels, which I've been a guest on twice? Thank you so much. Have you ever heard of Bear, the musical? Because we got the original Jason in the house. You ever heard of the original Broadway cast of Hairspray? Oh, ever heard of Boy from Oz? Because me and John are about to have a very special Halloween slumber party. Feel free to ask your questions in the live, everyone.
Wait, can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can totally hear you.
My one AirPod fell out. Hold on.
Oh.
Keep saying good stuff.
He's a hot gay guy walking down the street. He's a hot gay guy when he moves his feet. Hot gay guy. Oh, a little peek of the bedroom. People were asking if this, when they saw that you're such a hot gay guy, they're asking if this was going to get raunchy. And now here we are. She's got her wig. She's looking at when this comes out in podcast form, people are gonna be like, what the hell is happening? Oh, she lost her wig. It's a RuPaul's Drag Race. No, she lost her wig. She lost her wig. You're gonna lose a lip sync.
Wait, there's also a chihuahua.
You can barely see. Oh, it's like a ghost chihuahua in the background. Oh, that, your dog literally appeared out of nowhere like a ghost.
Look at that. Do you want to see that place?
What's your dog's name?
That's Pete. Should I put the wig back on? Yeah, it's Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, you look like a hot gay guy, but let's put the wig
on. I'll put it on backwards.
Kind of almost, and you're also almost giving like Glenn Close in...
Do you know that I am a Glenn Close doppelganger lookalike? Like literally, like if you look at my face, I am her. Look.
Okay, I'm looking.
Look at me.
Wait, actually, when you first said that, I was like, you're crazy. And now I'm like, I see it.
No, it's people, they're like, you are Glenn Close. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, the same face.
I know.
Okay, fine. We found it. I'm Glenn Close.
You're Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, I won't be ignored. Give me a lamp.
I won't be ignored.
Give me a rabbit.
Boy, give this bitch a rabbit already. How are you feeling about Halloween, spending your Halloween with me instead of, you know, the normal parties? Are you sad or are you like, you don't care?
The truth is, I feel so grateful that I've been asked to do something and to be a part of something like this instead of the regular parties, because honestly, the regular parties are really stupid and garbage. And when you go to them, it's like New Year's Eve. You go to them, there's expectations, and they're always what? Shattered.
I've never liked Halloween celebrations. As a kid, I used to go trick-or-treating, and the other kids, I was a chubby kid, and the other kids were faster than me, and they would run away from me.
Oh, how about this? I thought I found my ticket to fame when my lesbian aunt, sorry, I'm sure she's not gonna watch this, was she's not out of closet yet, but she's 70. Anyway, sorry, Aunt Carol. She worked for the local news, and she put together a PSA, and she hired me and my little sister to star in a PSA about how hooligans put like needles and razors inside candy, and we had to like reenact and pretend to be a family with like, you know, like real actors, and like be like, Mom, what's in my candy? And like, it was a really good like acting moment for me. Anyway, no one ever called, but I was scarred because I always thought there was going to be razors in my candy, which led to me leading a really good lifestyle of health, which is mostly fruit.
Oh, now he only eats fruit. He doesn't ever eat the razor filled candy. Your dog is possessed. First question: do you think your house is haunted?
For sure, 100%.
You really do?
Yeah. She's alive, but she's haunted. The girl that I know. Yeah, her name's Diane. She lives on the third floor. She lives in Notes. Hate Notes.
You're lying. I'm scared, actually. I'm actually scared about what you just said.
No, she haunts the building. She's alive, but she haunts me.
That's one actually scared. I'm actually scared right now because I really do believe in ghosts. If you are watching this and you believe in ghosts, please tell us in the comments your ghost stories, and I'll tell John what they are.
I love a ghost story.
We just finished The Haunting of Hill House. I know I'm 3 years behind, but have you seen that?
Yeah, but I'm not watching the new one.
I'm not
but
either.
I watched that one. I did watch that, and I enjoyed it. It took me a second, but I love Henry Thomas because I love E.T. I love him as a dad.
Oh, yeah. He was so good in that series. And did you catch the little fun nod to E.T. in the series? When the little boy is in the, when Luke is in the treehouse, he has an E.T. lunchbox with a picture of the dad as, it's so cute. God,
how did I miss that?
Wow. It's pretty hidden. I only know because I watched like a YouTube video about it.
Can I say that when I look at myself on the screen, I really am giving you Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction really hard.
You really are. You're giving it hard. Is there anything better than when you're with a gay friend and you put on a new wig and you're like, who is she?
Really nail it.
You really, who am I? I mean, obviously I'm Vanessa Carlton, but with this wig on, like, who am I actually? Like, who's my face and wig give you?
You know what? Brittany Murphy in Clueless.
Okay, you might have meant that as a joke, but that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
But I'm serious. I'm serious. Like, you, like, if you did it right, if you, like, really got that wig, like, trimmed a little bit, got those fucking
redder
people off your head, and if we gave you the glow up you deserve, like they did, you know, in Clueless, you could be Brittany Murphy, like, actually, like, be her.
My best friend is watching this from St. Louis, and she says, way harsh, Ty. Hi, Emmy.
Hi.
Right. Wait, Emmy's a huge Andy Cohen fan, so it's huge.
Oh,
that you're here.
Hi. I don't know why you'd be a fan of that asshole, but just kidding. She pays the bills.
She pays the bills, honey. Wait, I really do look like Brittany Murphy. Do you know
you do
love Brittany Murphy? You know?
Yeah, I feel like she's really like in your kind of generation's wheelhouse.
She sure. Really, yeah, those of us who are 13 to 19, which is my age, 19. Emmy said you're a virgin who can't drive. Thank you, Emmy. I love her a lot because like you and like me, she's an actress who can sing. Did you know she can sing?
Absolutely, yes. I did know that.
I want to know, who are your singers, John? Who do you like? Who do you like to listen to?
You know, funny that you have Vanessa Carlton as your nom de plume tonight. I am a female singer-songwriter whore, you know? Like,
are you?
Give me Vanessa Carlton, give me a Bjork, give me a like Tracy Chapman, a Tori Amos, give me like a 90s female vocalist, Nani DeFranco, like, and I will, like, my vagina will blast open like a thousand burning miles. And I am, that's really who it is. In terms of like singers, like if we're going to talk about like, ooh, who has the range and stuff like that, then like that's a different conversation. But like my personal ears, you know, go towards like, you know, that kind of stuff. But are you talking about like who has, like, are we going to talk about like in a gay way, like who's my singers? I don't know.
No, that's a different conversation. I love your answer. That's what I wanted to know. I want to know, like, who are your, like, if you're going to put on your favorites, if we're driving to Palm Springs together, who are you
putting
on? So you like, do you dig like Lilith Fair? That sounds very
It's a 100% absolute Indigo Girls, absolute Paula Cole, absolute Sarah McLachlan, like 100% Lilith Fair. And actually, for that matter, the Lilith Fair album.
The Lilith Fair album is lit.
I don't mind. Like, all those people and their albums, plus the Lilith Fair literal album. The literal fair.
Okay, so if you're taking in the literal fair and you're on a desert island and you only get one song from one of those artists, from one of those Lilith Fair artists, what song?
Fast Car.
Yeah, that's the best answer. Fuck, that's really good.
I mean,
an unbelievable song.
Because you can kind of make every other song work within that one song, you know. It is a thousand miles. It is me who beats me up. It is, you know, Paula Cole. It is all those other people in the one song. It is all of those songs in one song.
Yeah, it's where all the cowboys gone. It's all of it. Mine would have to be, and this is a little bit basic, but I'm okay with that. It's Building a Mystery by Sarah McLachlan. I mean,
that's the one song you'd bring.
That's the one song I'd bring. There's something about that song where I'm just like,
yeah,
I love it. It puts me at ease and excites me at the same time. Yes. Kind of like Fast Car.
Yes. Oh.
And I mean, I'm a Sarah McLachlan whore. My brother and sister are 6 and 8 years older than me. And my sister was like obsessed. So she would blast it all the time. But I love Adia. I love, you know, all the other jams. But Building a Mystery really was like.
Building a Mystery. That was the first single.
I think it was. No? Yeah. I think you're right.
And it was a little bit like, huh, what does this mean? And what do you think that song means?
I think it means that you're building a mystery.
Right. I think you're
trying to create, you know, if we're the Scooby gang and we're trying to figure out what's going on, you mangy kids? What's going on, you mangy kids? You're trying to build up. What does that song mean? Does it mean like he's further distancing himself from her?
Like, as I've gotten older and as I've become dumber, I do think. I think it means, actually, I don't know, because it's a mystery, but it's a really mysterious song. Like, but it's like, yeah, okay, hold on. You strut your astroware and your suicide porn. Is that what the words are?
I'm looking them up right now because I'm truly so curious. You come out at night.
Coming at night. That's when the energy comes and the dark side's light and the vampires roar.
This is like spooky. This is Halloween. Yeah, you strut your rasta. You strut your rasta wear.
Rasta wear in your suicide palm. I don't think that. No, who is it? What lyric? Because see, sometimes these lyrics are wrong. I think these are the appropriate lyrics. No, I think it's like. I think they were harsher tie.
They're way harsher tie. Title of episode, way harsher tie. From the ghost in the halls, you wear sandals in the snow. This actually doesn't make any sense.
This
is nonsense.
Well, I think this song doesn't make sense, but I also think sometimes like lyrics on the web are sometimes made by a child who just listens. But sometimes I think when you get to the real lyrics, it takes you a second. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. I'm so glad that's your answer. I love that whole surfacing album.
It's really, really good. That type of music really did it for me hard and still does do it for me hard. Natalie Cole, am I saying that name right? That's her
Merchant.
Name, right? Natalie Merchant. Natalie Merchant. Duh.
Natalie Merchant was maybe my number one for a while. When she was in 10,000 Maniacs, that was when it really hit. And then her solo career, of course.
Tell me her first hit.
I must be one of the wonders, God's own creation.
Okay, I love that. I love that song. But there's another song that I'm thinking.
Tiger off Tiger Lily. I know what it is. Carnival. It's Carnival. It's
It is off Tiger Lily, but it's not Carnival. It's like
yes, it is. Oh.
Carnival is the big hit, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
Okay, cool.
Tell us.
What are you thinking?
Song that was like that sounded very similar. I'm not gonna figure it out. But
we love Natalie Merchant, and I love
she's great. She's really great.
Our Time in Eden, 10,000 Maniacs is one of the best albums. I would take that album to space if I had to go to space for 3 years.
That's the album you take?
If I could, it's one of the albums. It's not the album I take.
Let me ask you this, since it's a spooky, scary Halloween, this is kind of a hard question, but
okay, sure.
If you could take one witch,
okay,
what witch do you take to space, to help you through space?
Out of what? Just any witch?
Any witch ever.
Oh.
Any pop culture witch and throughout history.
But like a literal witch who's someone okay, like a witch okay guy
or someone guy, you guy. Consider a witch like some people consider Stevie Nicks a witch like that could you could take her you know
I think I would take you talk about something and let me think about it
okay my witch I'm yeah, I would definitely yours? I mean it would be really insulting to the viewers of this podcast and listeners if I didn't if say Elphaba
or if you didn't say Jenna Lee Green.
Jenna Lee Green from Bear the Pop Opera as Elphaba. But actually, since you mentioned Jenna Lee Green, I would take Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Okay.
Because I think she'd be really resourceful, but also really fun. Elphaba's kind of a downer.
Yeah, I think you have to bring someone who's going to be upbeat.
Yeah.
And not annoying. That's the other thing, though. Like
Sabrina can be annoying, for sure.
You're stuck with this person, and they have to be... You know, like, yikes. Like,
maybe
what if you have...
Kathy and Jimmy from Hocus Pocus.
I think I would take Kathy and Jimmy, but I would take Kathy and Jimmy not from Hocus Pocus. Because Kathy and Jimmy is not... The real Kathy and Jimmy is not annoying. But I think Kathy and Jimmy, the character from Hocus Pocus, might get old.
She might get old. What I like about her character in that movie is she's like always lifting Bette Midler up, and I kind of need that. I'm kind of into that. She's like,
yeah.
How do you describe that? It was so perfect, Winnie. I'm kind of that doesn't get annoying to me. I'm like, yeah, give me more. I'll take this.
She lifts people up in real life. She's really, you know, she's lifting up the people of Pennsylvania right now with Deborah Messing in the streets.
Oh, we love Miss Kathleen and Jimmy.
We really do.
Where are you? From originally,
I'm from the void, as it looks like in this room. It looks like the blackness. I mean, our room is actually like I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Texas! What were your slumber parties like growing up?
Who was I talking about? There was an episode of Pen 15 about slumber parties, and I wasn't someone who flourished in that environment. I did a 911 call. Can you come get me, mom? You know, like I was that person. I wasn't like a popular middle schooler.
That's often the story with the gay people we have on here.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
But once I got to high school, honey,
everything changed. She was
everything changed. Every day was a slumber party.
Yeah.
And I slayed the Zima at high school. Like I slayed the Zima. I slayed the Doritos.
I was a bedwetter through high school. So
through high school
until I was 16 years old, I paid the bet.
Well, that's early high school. But so why did you think that was it, like, to get your mom's attention? Was she dead?
No, she's still with us.
I'm sorry. Okay. Sometimes
I wonder for attention. Maybe it was like, yeah, pay attention to me. I have a very small bladder and I'm like a crazy, not as much anymore, but was a crazy sound sleeper. Like my mom would try to wake me up in the morning. My alarm wouldn't wake me up. I had one of those pee alarms to try to like send me a message to not do it anymore. I would pee the bed and the alarm would go off and it would go like to like tell me not to, to like give me a sense memory to not pee. And my mom would come in and she would shake me and she'd be like, it's so scary, it seems like you're dead.
My god.
Are you getting breaking news right now?
I'm getting breaking news. Well, my question for you is, and you can tell me that we don't talk about this or we do, but does that, having a small bladder, et cetera, does that affect like sexualness? Like, are you one of those guys who can like pee while they're getting fucked?
I can't pee during.
Okay.
Gay sex. I can't pee. I don't know. I don't think it affects it. The only way it really affects it is like every time I hook up, I'm like, we can't start until I go pee. Because I'm like, gonna have to pee.
Oh, because your bladder's small. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But other than that, no, I don't think it. And we can talk about sexual stuff. It's a slumber party, honey.
Because I have a small prostate.
What does that mean? Like, what does that?
I don't know. I said, well, it means that like when I have tried I don't want to get like shade from people who've been like, I know for a fact you've gotten fucked. But like, I am not the world's best bottom because it doesn't, I'll cut to this. I asked my doctor, what am I doing wrong? Why don't like what I asked my literal doctor, what can like, why does it not feel that great to bottom? And he was like, let's check. And just kidding. But he did. I said, do I have a problem with my prostate? Is it enlarged? Is it like off to the side? Is it whatever? And he was like, you actually have a small prostate. And I was like, oh, which, means like, I guess like nothing can get to it, you know.
Your prostate would survive a horror movie if it were the lead. Nothing can get to it.
Yeah, it's last girl, final girl.
The final girl. It's the Nev Campbell of buttholes.
My prostate built a mystery, and no one can solve it. No one can solve it, honey.
So if you have a small prostate, then it's harder. That's like the thing that people are hitting during gay sex that like feels so good.
Right. That's like the thought.
That's the spot.
Yeah.
The human body, man. So interesting. There should be a gay horror movie about a prostate. That.
Have you wet your bed as an adult lately?
I have not wet the bed since I was 16 years old, but it literally stopped like overnight. Like I literally wet the bed consistently every single night for the first 16 years of my life. And then it stopped. Isn't that wild? My friend Emmy, who's in the chat, I used to wet her bed. I would go to my friend's places.
Oh my god.
And I would pee in their like sleeping bag, or on the sleeping bag, like pee on their floors. It was so mortifying. That's why I wanted to do this podcast. Yeah, territory. Yeah. Leave a little
pee on be on my bed.
Okay. That I could get into that.
I wonder, it's interesting because I have been in dreams. I've had, everyone's had this, but I've been in dreams where I've been in front of the toilet peeing, and then I pee, and then I feel it up against my pubis, and I'm like, oh God, it's not going in the toilet, it's going on my upper pubic mound.
Yeah. Yeah. On that upper pubic mound.
I feel warmth on my pubes. And it's pee, and it's not going in the toilet, it's going on me.
That's a dream?
No, it's I'm gonna pee, and then I pee in it, but it's real. Like it's I'm peeing in the bed, and I am awakened by the warm feeling on my upper pubic mound.
You're actually so lucky that that wakes you up, because honey, when I was a child, I was pissing all over and it was not waking me up.
You didn't give a shit.
It's like, I don't care. I'm peeing everywhere. But there was a girl, to make me feel better, our friend from home told me that a girl she had spent the night with pooped in her bed.
No, pooped in her sleep? Well, actually, I feel like sometimes, depending on what you've eaten and depending on the amount of fiber you've had and the amount of like power with which you fart, you know, you could shit the bed.
But wouldn't you'd probably know though, right? You'd like wake up as you're pooping. Like that's a lot of releasing. That's a lot of releasing from the body to not know that. Oh, hey, I think I just absolutely shit in this bed. I think poop's absolutely escaping my anus right now. No matter how small your prostate is, John, I think you'd know if you're pooping out your butthole.
I don't know. I think because water. Because water is so, like, pee water is so wet, you know, that, like, poop is, like, you know, your butt crack is always kind of, like, a certain warmth, and, you know, there's always, like, a certain level of pH. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Don't shit the bed. If you shit the bed, you don't know that you're fucking, I don't know. You should get. I don't know. It's just, I don't want to say anything. I'm going to say something really cruel. I won't.
But bottom line, don't shit the bed.
Don't shit the bed. Oh my God. I shit my pants the other day walking my dog.
You did?
Yeah. Like I farted and it was poop.
I'm not going to lie to you. I shit my pants within the last 2 months as well.
Yeah. It was in the last 2 months. And I...
Oh my God, it's hairballs.
I mean, look at what I'm dealing with here.
Yeah, you need to pull back like a Vanessa Carlton style.
But look how bad she looks that way.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Wait, tell me about you pooping your pants.
Okay, so I was walking my dog. The dog that you can see in the video. Like, hi, not anymore. And I remember I'd had a lot of coffee, right? So that's always where it starts, is you wake up, you have your coffee, you have whatever. And I thought, and also like I'm picking up my dog's poop and I'm waiting for him to poop and I'm picking him up. Oh my God, stop it. Can you hear this?
Yeah,
can you hear this? Okay. Motorcycle trend?
Motorcycles are
anyway, out. So I thought, you know what? I did feel like a satanic urge to poop, like a very, very evil or like an urge, the likes of which I haven't felt in a very long time. And I thought, oh shit, that's what I thought. And so I thought, you know what? I'm gonna let a little steam out, a little steam heat, just to give me a little time before I can get upstairs. My dog knows I'm talking about him.
He let out that little Stanley steamer, of course.
Yeah, and so I just kind of like, I was like, and you know, I walk my dog in public, as you know, I'm outside in public walking the dog. So I farted, and as you've known, as someone who's pooped their pants before, you may know the feeling of when you fart and then you shart. It's a different feeling. It's like a little like, air and then water. You know what I mean? It's like air, then poop. This, it was very quiet. It was very stealth. Nothing happened. It was almost like someone had like an icing piper for a cake, you know, and they piped, and they piped, my hole became a piper, you know, like a pipe. Was that what it's called? A piping?
Yeah.
And it was like just a someone gave it a gentle squish. Like there was no air, there was no blast. It was just pure, smooth piping.
That's actually what people say about you around town. They go, old John, old gentle piper over there.
Yeah, I'm the Pied Piper, and it was like I had piped my panties.
How far were you from your home?
I was right outside, and I thought, oh God, because it was such a, I knew I had piped, that I was like, oh God. I was like, yep, a little bit must have come out, but because it was so silent, I don't know how much. So I ran upstairs, and it was just like if someone had done like a rose
pipe. Oh, okay. Just a small rose. Okay. You're actually very lucky then, because mine 2 months ago, I was hanging out social distance with a friend just about a mile down from my apartment. And I obviously couldn't use the bathroom because of COVID. And so I said, okay, I'm actually feeling like I must leave right now because I know I was going to have to poop. And so I leave his place and I'm like, I can make it. It's like, it's about a mile. About a half mile in, I start to realize,
oh no.
It's coming. The baby's coming. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah. And I start running. I start full speed running. I said, I can do this. I can make it home. And I'm farting and I'm literally holding
my don't fart.
And I know, but I couldn't help it. I mean, holding my butthole with my hand as I'm running, just like trying to keep it in. And I'm going and I make it all the way to my front door and I try to open my front door.
No.
And it happened.
No, it happened.
It happened all like a huge amount all over my pants, and I had to.
No.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you poop the bed, listen, we poop walking around in the world, so in our pants, yeah, so you're not alone.
Yeah, I really like what I've done with my wig in the past.
You actually look really fierce right now. You're someone else though now. This wig is now different. Who is she?
I think I'm a great granddaughter of Velma Von Tussle.
Oh my God. Yes, I absolutely see that. A great granddaughter of Velma Von Tussle.
Should I take the time to plug my computer in? Because it says your Mac will sleep soon unless plugged into a power.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that plug, girl. And while you're plugging the computer, I'll plug my new video with boyfriend that you guys should watch.
I watched some of it.
Oh my God, thank you. I made my gay boyfriend watch my 2010 Halloween theme park show that I did, and it was absolutely amazing in every way, and he simply could not believe how bad at dancing I am, which was shocking to me. Oh my God, Emmy says giving me Miranda Priestley, honey. I see that. Oh. The side swoop gives you some Miranda Priestley on top for sure.
Yeah.
Come on, Meryl. Wait. Speaking of Hairspray, the Velma Von Tussle.
Yeah.
My next question for you is only two words long. And the question is Shoshana Bean.
What? Do you want me to play my Marco Polos from her for you?
Yes, literally. Yes. First of all, I can't believe you still have Marco Polo. I love that. That is very 2016 of you.
Nuh-uh.
Is it Marco Polo hot? I got rid of it. I couldn't do it.
People it got saying, hot again.
It got hot again. People were sending me like 8-minute long videos, and I was like, I don't want this. It's like constant voicemails in my face. But if it was from Shoshana Bean, honey, that's a different story.
Did I swoop like this? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, there she goes. There she goes. And she's back. There she is. There's Miranda. Okay, honey, Shoshana Bean. You did Hairspray with her.
So Shoshana was one of the first people I met. And one of my first friends, and still such a good friend. Let's see.
You know that I'm deeply obsessed with Ms. Bean.
Are you?
Yes, everyone really is when you think about it.
She's the most talented person I know.
I mean, truly. Sometimes I'll look up her videos of like in Hairspray when she went on.
Oh, is it his birthday? The man that I never see or hear from, is it his birthday? Happy birthday to you.
That's nice.
She is really everything. For those of you listening who don't know who Shoshana Bean is, and by that I mean only Emmy, who is not a musical theater fan like me, she is everything. She is the greatest vocalist of this or any generation.
I think you know, it used to be all about the riffs, but now I think it's just about the actual voice, like the actual voice. I was standing. The power and the control. And you know, I mean, I was standing with, who was I talking to? Another really great singer. I won't name drop. And
please do.
See, I want this to be bigger. Yeah.
There it is, honey.
Oh wait, let me go back to something you were saying. You were a theme park employee, and let me just say something. So was I.
Where?
Six Flags Fiesta, Texas.
Absolutely, honey. I applied there. I applied to be a performer there. I know exactly.
You applied?
When I was working at Cedar Point, shout out, amusement park in Ohio,
oh,
they
that's
had
great.
Like Playbill.com had like a mm-hmm. thing for Six Flags Siesta or whatever it's called. And I.
Yeah, Siesta is more like it. I'll give them that. Siesta. My show was a siesta and a half hang.
What was your show? What was your sleepy, sleepy show?
Living for my styling right now.
Your styling is. What was your show?
My show was called Now That's Country.
Of course it was.
And this was 1996. This was early, early on.
Best year in history.
It was a great year. I graduated college. I graduated high school. I started college. First boyfriend, you know, came out, got a car, none of those are in order. But anyway, I worked at Six Flags Siesta, Texas, and I was in the country show, and I sang Garth Brooks. I sang George Strait. I sang, who else?
Honey, what Garth Brooks song did you sing?
Standing Outside the Fire.
I don't even know that one. I don't even know.
Yes, you do. Yeah, Standing Outside the Fire.
Standing Outside the Fire. It's been burning, but we're standing outside the fire.
Billy Joel.
Standing
outside the fire. Now you've ruined
take
it.
Take us there.
Me.
Take us there. Please take
I
us
mean,
there.
I did it 5 times a week for 4 months. Then actually let's cut to the chase. And then the next summer I worked at Disneyland in LA in California, down there in Anaheim, right down there. Like I'm looking at it.
What did you do there? What did you do there?
Tim, you're not going to believe me when I tell you.
I need to know.
You're not. You're going to think I'm making this up and I'm being hyperbolic and I'm just telling this to be fun, like to have a fun story. And I'm not lying as I love to lie.
Tell me the truth. Who did you play? Who were you?
The truth is I was in the Hunchback of Notre Dame show. The irony of it all is, you know, well, first of all, I'll start with this.
You're a wig. Go on.
I'm a genie. When I started rehearsals, here's who was in rehearsals with me. Two guys I didn't know and Stephanie Block. And
okay,
myself.
I'm completely gagged and I'm screaming.
And she was like, okay. And because she was going to be an Esmeralda.
Absolutely.
Swing. And I was like, and her energy was so manic, and I was like, this girl doesn't want to be here. She is so overly professional, and like, you know, people who are like doing their, like making notes with their pencils and stuff. And I'm just like, I'm a performer who goes like with my emotions. Like I don't take notes. And I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, 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 I'll figure it out. That's why I don't have a Tony. And she does. And, but so she, and so after two rehearsals, she quit. But I literally was the voice of Quasimodo.
First of all, what a weird show. That's like one of those classic movies of theirs that like nobody ever does anything with. Because like,
yeah, they did something with it.
And you sang Out There?
I sang Out There.
Bitch.
I know. And I fucking sang the shit out of it too.
Yes, I bet you did. I bet you did. Yeah. As you tossle your wig. Yeah, I fucking
sang out of
it. Wait, okay. I cannot believe it. So you, Steffi J. Block, did this theme park show with you for 2 days, and then she quit. She did eventually play Belle at some, maybe Disneyland, I don't know. But she was not having it at the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, because I think she knew, because she was going to be a swing. But it was in LA. It was a union gig. Also, who was in that show? Melinda Chua. Long, you know, and little known fact, closed out the she was the last Kim in Miss Saigon on Broadway on Broadway theater. Not the last before the revival, but she was the original, because I was in that show as well. And she was, and she, it was like, oh, hi, Melinda. We used to work together at Disneyland.
At a theme park.
We're on Broadway.
That's so fun. I really do love that about the theater world. It's truly so small. Wait, you also know I fucking live for Miss Saigon.
You do?
Yeah.
I
You do or no?
I do. It was my first show.
Oh my God. Were you freaking out? So you were in California and then you were like, I need to come to Broadway.
I freaked out. I was in college here in California, and I had started auditioning for Johnson Liff casting like gangbusters, because I was like, I'm sorry, you can hire me now, I'm so good. Like I had like crazy confidence, and I was like, hire me now. And I would go to like auditions in like a mint green Gap polo and khakis and be like, like I would sing like Joanna from Sweeney Todd and be like, listen to how good I can belt. And like I don't know what I was doing, but I would stand there like dead eyes, not knowing how to act at all. And they were like, keep coming back because we really like you. And like if that wasn't like shade, it was actually really nice. And they were like, no, really, like we do like you, you're just literally 18. So I was like, that shouldn't stop you. so was Francis. So like anyway, I kept coming back, and then for 2 years, I kept coming to every open call they ever had. I would stand there. I would wait. I would get a call back. Then I would come back. And I'd be like, we don't know, but we like you a lot, blah, blah, blah. And then by the time my senior year rolled around, I was like, I'm never going to get cast in anything, but I'm going to go. And one of the only songs I knew, because I was sort of going, there's a lot of weird vocal coaches out here in LA. And they'll be like, I don't play the piano, but I can teach you how to do it from your spirit center. And you're like, and give me $145 for 30 right. minutes. Like, they're crazy. So, like, kids, watch out.
Yeah.
But I was one of those kids who was like, okay.
Yeah, I need lessons.
So the one song we would practice on was Why God Why from Miss Saigon, because it was the only song, like, I guess he knew and that I knew. And this weird guy up in Laurel Canyon who, like, didn't really know where he was. Anyway, so I knew that. It was, like, one of the only songs I knew at that point. So, like, anyway, I hadn't gone to musical theater school, and I was like, whatevs. So I know this song. I went, and they were like, okay, let's have a chat. Like, they kept me a long time, and they were like, when do you graduate? Because this was like August. And I was like, I can graduate anytime you want. And they were like, no, really, though, because we want you to stay in school. Like, we don't want to, like, take someone out of college. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Take me out of school.
You were like, fuck college. I want to be on Broadway. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, and then, like, by that point, I kind of, like, knew them all and, like, had known them for a few years. So, I kind of, anyway, so 2 months later, I get a phone call and they were like, do you want to come join the company? And I was like, yeah, I graduated. I decided to graduate early in December, which was a lie. And I was like, yeah, they're like, can you be here in 2 weeks? I was like, yes, I can. And I said, I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I boxed up basically nothing and left. And then my teacher, who, like, my drama teacher, who had just, like, not cast me in a play, saw me walking across campus, and she was like, when God closes the door sometime, he opens the window. And I was like, can it, Kathy?
You didn't cast me. And yeah. Now I'm a Broadway star.
In so the importance it. Of being earnest.
Honey.
And I'll tell you the importance of being Algernon. Earnest. Yeah. Well, I know. I wanted to be fucking Mrs. Havisham or whoever she was.
Isn't that funny? It's so funny that how, like, college theater programs can make you feel so small, and it all means literally nothing. This girl that I went to college with never got cast in literally anything. Our first semester of senior year, we were doing Hamlet, and she got cast as, like, I don't know, The Handmaid's Tale or whatever. Like, the girl that comes in and is like, here's your shawl, Ophelia. Like, she literally had three lines. So right. She was like, I'm going to quit. Obviously, I'm not going to, like, I've never been cast in 4 years. I'm not going to do three lines. Like, I'd rather assistant direct this. And so that's what she did. And then literally over winter break that year, she booked Maria in West Side Story on Broadway.
Yeah.
And she was the first and only replacement of that, like, 2010 revival of, or 2009 revival of West Side Story on Broadway.
What's her name?
Sarah Amenguel.
Never heard of her. but that sounds great.
That's what college theater programs are. It's like it's like The Vow. It's like, it can be a cult if you let it be that, or you tell yourself, like, okay, I don't need to invest in this so deeply. Wait, so you then reunited with Shoshana Bean when you did
Boy From Us. Yeah, and she, like, so, hey,
I did a theme park show with you for 2 days.
Yeah, I was like, do you remember? And, like, I loved that story because it was so funny. It was just so funny to me. But she didn't love me telling that story all the time, I think. That, like, hey, remember when you were, like, an understudy in Anaheim at Disneyland at the Hunchback of Notre Dame show and then you quit? Like, I thought that was really funny because it was funny for me because I was Quasimodo. Like, that's a funny story. And it was kind of like, you know, she thought that was funny for a sec. And then, but what was nice was we share a best friend. And so, the dogs are out tonight. But yeah, we share a best friend, and, like, we kind of got that out of the way. But then, like, it was good that we had, like, such a history, because by the time Boy From Oz rolled around, we were sitting at Vinyl on 8th Avenue back before it was the now old, but at that point new location. It was the old
location.
Sitting outside, and she was like, I just got cast as Liza. The history being, Hugh had been out of town filming X-Men 2 for 8 months, and I had gotten cast earlier, so I read with all the Lizas they ever auditioned, including Beth Level, including everyone who ever got seen for Liza, and I was Hugh because I had been cast as, like, a standby, and so I got to, I auditioned with all of them, so, like, we had seen each other, I had auditioned with her, and she was like, I just got the call, like, I'm going to be Liza. And I was like, you're going to be Liza. Oh my God. We're going to be in that show together. And hopefully that show will go better than The Boy From Oz. And you won't leave after 2 weeks.
Better than Notre Dame, you mean?
Hunchback. And that was a hard, part. Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. She loves to hear the music. That is, like, so legendary. That number is. Wait, did you go on for Hugh Jackman?
No. The insurance rules are if a celebrity's name is above the title, ticket holders can get their money back.
I've heard that
so,
before.
you can't ever go on, or it's because it's cheaper to just call it than right. have like the 50 people who'd stay and watch you.
Right.
Plus, so, that bitch never called out.
Never? He never called out?
Mm-mm.
What does no. he smell like?
Mm.
Good?
Money.
Money.
Yeah, it smells good. It smells good. It's like a normal, like, rich, like, sweaty. He's sweaty, you know, clean, but clean, rich, money sweat.
Clean, rich, money sweat. He's an interesting one because he's one of the only, like, he's, like, part of a generation of a thing that we don't really have anymore, which is, like, movie star, musical theater star. Like, that's, yeah. other than, like, James Corden, like, we don't, and I guess Meryl, but Meryl's not, like, going to do Broadway. Like,
no.
Like, he really, like, does Broadway shows and shows. Is, like, an A-list movie star.
Right.
Which used to be way more common of a thing.
Yeah. And does live shows, you know, really, you know, I heard from him recently that he feels like that helps his performance in, you know, in film and television, doing live shows. So I think that's something that, you know, all the greats, you know, have said, you know, doing live stuff is really something that energizes you, that refuels you, and blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about my wig some more.
Yeah, the wig is absolutely gag worthy.
I think we really hit on it now. Like,
what? Yeah, now she is someone different again, though. Now she's like, maybe 80s. She's someone 80s. It's swoopy.
It's 80 Bryant.
AD Bryant's Swoopy Kurtz. Movies? I've never asked this question on the pod before, but I need to know from you. What okay. movies? We just watched Scary Movie 2, which came out when I was in junior high,
oh, and was such a good film.
So funny, but it's also really sexy. Like, I used to be really super turned on by that film.
What the Wayans movies? Brothers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. And one of them's like gay. One of them's like. He's pretend gay, or he is gay, and he's like covering it up. And it was so hot to me.
So frustrating. Yeah.
What movies turned you on when you were coming of age?
That's easy. So I used to live next, like a mile from, a VHS rental facility called Movie Magic. It then turned into a Blockbuster, but it was before Blockbuster, so it was just called Movie Magic. Now, if you were 12 and older and they knew you, you could just rent whatever you wanted.
Oh.
So there was a lot of grabbing movies off the shelves, being like, yeah, thanks. And then you just return them through the slot. You know, so it'd be like, we need to return these movies, go put them through the slot. So I could easily take movies, manipulate them so no one saw, and then just return them with the rest. So I'm talking Wild Orchid with Mickey Rourke. I'm talking 9 1/2 weeks again with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger. That whole era, Basic Instinct, Sliver, that was my learning to orgasm.
And for Mickey Rourke, was it him specifically?
I had a thing for Mickey Rourke during the Wild Orchid phase. Obviously not now. I did have a thing for... I don't know. I liked a sensitive guy, but a sensitive guy who could, let me think. Like, I had a thing for like Kyle MacLachlan for a second there. He, like, in Blue Velvet, like, I had like a David Lynchian, like, perverted sense of like gross.
The dog doesn't like that. The dog does not like that.
She's turned on, like, and like, ready to go.
Yeah, she loves it.
Pete, come here.
Wait.
So that was it. Like, definitely like a VH1, VHS type of like.
I had Major League on VHS. Remember Major League, the baseball movie?
Yes. Oh.
And there's a scene where they're in the locker room and they would show their butts. And honey, I couldn't get enough of the butts.
I love the butts.
I love the butts.
How about this? My dad took me to see Showgirls in the theater.
Wait, I love that. When you saw it, were you like, did you know that it was like insane? Or were you like, this is good?
We were Christians. We had like, we knew it was going to be something. Because like, he and I bonded over like erotic thrillers, even though we couldn't even have like alcohol in the house. But we like saw Basic Instinct. I don't know. He kind of got into like the production of it all. Like, he was like, oh yeah, Jesse Spano is going to be like a whore now. Let's go see what that's all about.
This is going to be fucking
And
wild.
I was like, yeah.
When
and
you said...
I was like...
This is not for me. These boobies flying around
are
not for me.
It was so... So for me, I felt like, you know how it is with showgirls. Like when you get past the dolphin sex in the water, it starts to get a little dark.
Yeah. I've actually never seen that movie until 3 years ago, maybe. And I watched it with a friend who like loved it, and he was introducing it to me. And I was like, I've heard so much folklore about this that it's like wild to watch. We do
it's
have
wild.
To end on the live and move on,
okay.
on over to our Patreon,
yeah.
if that's
sure.
cool.
Sure,
we're
sure.
We're going to do some slumber party games on our Patreon. But before we move over, I want to play a slumber party game with you where we guess your gay future. So pick a color.
I wonder if I have one. Yellow.
Y-E-L-L-O-W. 1, 4, 5, or 8?
4.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 4, 5, or 8 again.
4.
Okay, 4.
5?
4 or 5. Okay, 4. You become a gorgeous mermaid and you love Prince Eric, but the worst thing that could ever happen to a gay person happens to you. You can't sing.
I don't, that's what's gonna happen?
Yeah, you're a bad singer now. I'm so
sorry. I kind
of
lost it anyway. It's okay. I had my time.
She did Broadway. She did her Broadway time. She did her Broadway time. John, where can the people follow you? Where can they listen to The Feels? Tell them all the things.
Listen to SiriusXM The Feels every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and follow me on... Oh, God. She's choking on Cox. Oh, God. She's peeing her pants. She has a huge prostate.
Pooping.
She's shitting her poops.
She's building a mystery in her ass.
Yeah, you should wear your rest-a-wear. John Arthur Hill on Instagram. Otherwise, you can't find me on any other platform. I'm off of Facebook and Twitter. Goodbye.
Bye. See, you wouldn't want to be... And you can follow me at TeamMurray06 on all platforms. Subscribe to this channel if you're not already. And John and I are going to do about 10 to 15 minutes of fun slumber party games, Halloween themed, honey. I got a bunch of fun Halloween questions for him. So
hey.
You want to watch that? And you can watch Jessica Fosk, Eden Espinosa, all the other extra bonus that we have on the Patreon, which is, the link is in the comments if you want to subscribe to my Patreon. I would love it so much. Thank you so much, John. This has been a blast.
Eden Espinosa was also in Hunchback of Notre Dame. What I want to say.
Shut up.
Same show.
She's an Anaheim gal.
Me, Eden, Stephanie, Melinda Chua. There were a lot of Broadway bitches. The whole
a lot of Broadway
anyway,
bitches.
Bye. Thank you for having me. Love you.
Thank you so much for doing this. We'll see you on the Patreon.
Let's have a slumber party.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is with former Broadway star and... Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is with former Broadway star turned Andy Cohen radio show host, my very funny friend, John Arthur Hill. Just a heads up, this was from Halloween. I pushed back a couple of weeks because I wanted to make the Joe Biden announcement episode come out last week. So I am dressed as Vanessa Carlton for the entirety of this interview, and that's how I introduce myself. But I'm Tim Murray, and if you're enjoying this podcast, go ahead and rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want more bonus episodes, go ahead and sign up for my Patreon. There you can have... Enjoy the episode.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.